Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Well, I wish I could have stayed Fred, but I don't think you guys could have concentrated with me wearing a dress up here, so I decided to change. But Halloween is great. It's a lot of fun. A lot of great costumes out here. A lot of fun. So tonight, I'm going to share my testimony and kind of emphasis on having masks on, wearing masks. So I titled it, The Masks I've Worn. It's kind of the one because we love dressing up. We love Halloween. A lot of us do, just being someone else. And it's great for one day. But masks aren't so good when you've put it on in your own life, when you've masked who God wants you to be. And I've done that. And God's been faithful to overcome that and to work through that. And so we're just going to start in on my testimony. And I'm excited to share it with you guys all tonight. And so a lot of you can relate with the beginning of my life because I was born. It's pretty simple. I was born into a non-Christian home. My parents did not go to church. But I had a twin brother. And when we were about 2 years old, my parents started having a lot of marriage problems. And they also had two twin boys at 2 years old. So my mom goes, I need help. I am going to church. So that's what she did. She went to church. And so I've been driving people to church since I was 2 years old. Started early in my calling. I've refined the process. I don't exactly drive people to church. I more invite them now. But God used me to get my parents to church, which now I'm in church. So it all worked out. So growing up, we kind of, started learning about God together. I've always thought I grew up in a Christian home. That's all I really remember. When I was five, prayed the prayer to ask God into my heart. I still remember where I was. It's one of my first memories when I was about 5 years old. So it was great. And then when I was about 10 years old, my parents decided to move, and that wasn't so great. We moved from Yakima to Moses Lake, and I was in fifth grade. I was just starting to get friends, just starting to kind of have a good time figuring life out, and ended up moving to a school that really didn't like, didn't really have as many friends there. It was really hard on our family to move. My brother expressed his emotions a little bit more. I had some anger, too, with that. He kicked me in the ribs. I stabbed him with the screwdriver during this kind of hard time in our lives. We had a lot of anger. We didn't exactly know how to handle it, and I just saw that emotions weren't good. I saw what it was kind of doing to my parents, and I just came to this realization, you know what? I just need to kind of deal with this. This is happening. I can't change it. I'm just going to put my head down, deal with it, not have emotions, and just make the best of it. And so I did put on a mask. I put on a mask of everything's fine, no emotions for it. I'm going to get through this. I'm just going to do the best. But what God has really been stressing to me as I've kind of started this whole looking back through my life is that masks, when you put them on, they don't stay on the surface in life. You know, a Halloween mask, that stays on the surface. But when you put a mask on in real life, it goes down deep. And it doesn't just cover one area. It begins to cover a lot of areas. And so my emotion just kind of got shut down through that. I just kind of put on that everything was just fine. And that's affected me for a long time. God's still working through that. And I didn't even realize that it was kind of an issue until I even came to college, because that mask just became who I was. And it affected me as I continued to grow, as I continued to live in Moses Lake. Because I didn't really know who I was. I was just kind of stone, everything's great, let's go for it. And so I really began to give my life to the Lord at age 13, had a lot of questions, but God was able to answer those, work through it, and I really committed my life at age 13, but God was still doing a lot of work. That's where it really started, but I still really didn't know who I was. I think some of it was being a twin. You're always Carl and Chad or the Borgs or the twins. You never really were labeled myself, and so it seemed 6th through 11th grade or 10th grade, I had a new group of friends every year. I'd never really connected anywhere, just kind of would fit in. I kind of, to use the word mask, I just put on a mask to fit in with that group of friends, but there was no really connection. I wasn't being myself. I just wanted to kind of fit in and be there, and about junior, senior year of high school, I decided, this isn't fun anymore. It's way too much work trying to be someone I'm not, trying to fit in. And so I was able to just take that mask off and just begin to be myself, begin to be who God created me, let my personality out. And I loved it. High school was the first 2 years not so fun, but my junior and senior year had a great time, had a great group of friends. We did a bunch of crazy stuff. All the stories you hear about people doing in high school, we just had a great time because I was able to be myself. I was able to be who God created me. I didn't have to try to be anyone else, and it was great. And God really began to work, went on a few mission trips. I saw God move in some powerful ways, and God really started to work as I just was myself, and God began to mold that person who he wanted me to be. So then I graduated, and I was doing well, but then I decided I wanted to go live in Germany for a year, and that was, at the beginning, it was really tough, because I had, my brother was with me all the time. I went to an all-German high school. So my brother didn't come with me, but I went to an all-German high school. I lived with my great aunt and uncle who spoke hardly any English. I had German all the time. I didn't really know any German. I thought I did until I got there and realized I had no idea what the heck I was doing there. And it was really hard because I just felt alone. My aunt and uncle, their kids were out of the house. So I was just by myself, really no friends. And so I wanted to fit in. And then so you guys probably know, what do they do in Germany? They drink alcohol. And so I decided I want to join in. I reverted back to my old ways, started drinking, put on that mask so that I could fit in to just join in. Like I said, the masks, they don't last very long on the surface. And throughout the year, I just started to join in more and more. I was getting drunk every weekend, blacking out a few times. Just, it wasn't who I was, but it was who I became, because I just started, and it just slowly got worse and worse as I got farther and farther away. And the whole time, I had the mask of justification on, like, oh, I'm fine. I'm not doing anything wrong. It's not a big deal. Everyone's doing it, which I still struggle with today, of justifying my actions. But the coolest thing is that God was totally faithful. Over there, I didn't have a car, but I had a bike, and I rode home so many times. Don't even remember how I got home. Like, I could have been hit by a car. I could have ran into a car. I did crash once, but I landed in grass. Like, God was just protecting me so much. He was just looking out over me, even as I was getting farther away from him, he was still following me, knowing that he had a plan for my life and that this wasn't it and this was just a phase, and he was going to use it to really help reach out to other people that are struggling with similar things. And so towards the end of my time in Germany, I realized this isn't who I am. I don't want to do this anymore. So I came here, got involved at CCF, which is awesome. My brother was already going here and joined in with his friends, and there was a great group of friends here. They really helped me to grow, encouraged me to do Carpenter Series. I was water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit my freshman year, which was amazing. Really started my walk again with God. Exactly. I never felt God that way before. God was just moving big time as I had kind of dealt with everything that happened the year before. God just really filled me up anew with him, and I realized I didn't need alcohol to have fun. I had the Holy Spirit. He gave me the same amount of energy. He gave me the same amount of fun, and I could remember what I was doing. So it was awesome. Great time. My freshman year. The only issue is that I still wasn't exactly letting God really get to my heart, because everything that God did, I kind of took for myself. I kind of had my own glory for that. Oh yeah, I dealt with all that. I'm good. I came clean for that. I'm water baptized. I'm growing. I'm gonna be a JCD. I'm helping people. And really just put on the ugly mask of pride. And that is a bad one, because God could not get to me, because I thought, I'm good, I got everything going, I would do things for my glory and think I was just doing great, I had no sin, no problem, no major sins, whole time struggling with pride, but he could not get to me. So then come to sophomore year, big weekend of my college time, God decided he was going to rip that mask off. The problem with masks, like I said, they go down deep, so it hurt bad. He destroyed me, which he needed to do. But going into big weekend, I felt like I had everything going for me. I had everything together. I knew everything. I had it all together. That was Friday night. Sunday afternoon, I had nothing together. I was completely broken, and I had no idea what was going on. And if I had an hour, I would share the story, but it is crazy. It involved me spinning around in circles. I ended up in the river rebaptizing myself. I lost my Bible. I was crawling through the mud late at night. Crazy story. God just really had to wreck me, because I wasn't listening. And to top it all off, it all made sense in the moment, and then afterwards, nothing made sense. Turns out that there was some spiritual attack from, like, the demon of confusion, and I'm like, what the heck? I'm this strong Christian. I don't listen to demons. Another reason why he had to humble me. It was pretty painful. I actually ended up mad at God, because I'm like, I'm so broken. Like, I don't want to do anything. I don't trust myself. And he's like, that's okay. We're going to rebuild you in my strength, not your own. By my spirit, not by your strength. And he did. And it was a growing year, a lot of pain still. But then I ended up just working at a camp as a counselor. And then anyone out there who's ever worked at a camp for a week or for a summer, you know you can't do it on your own. You need a lot of help. And so I prayed a lot for God's strength. And what do you know? He showed up. The lack of sleep, God overcame that energy. And it just really showed me that, like, why would I want to do things on my own? Like, why would I want to do this on my own when God gives me the right words? He gives me the energy. He gives me the excitement to just live life. And so it was really just a great time of growing in God and relying on his strength. And so I did that for 2 summers. Both those summers really helped. Going into my senior year, I decided that I wanted to live in the dorms and reach out to the freshmen that were there. And I realized I wasn't exactly growing very much. As I was working at camp, my second semester, I had like a month before I was going to live in the dorms, and I wasn't really growing. So I prayed the prayer, God, do whatever it takes to get me ready to live in the dorms. At the time, I didn't think it was that scary. Now, I don't. That's a scary prayer, because he obliged. Because what do you know? Prayer works. When you ask God to do something, he's going to do it. I remember very distinctly, I prayed it on a Saturday. Sunday, we get our assignments. I'm a counselor, thinking I'm a pretty good counselor. Of course, pride still creeps up. And I see on the list, kitchen help, Carl Borg. I'm like, what? I'm the counselor. I'm not in the kitchen. And just God just clearly in the back of my head, you said anything. It's like, okay, I'll go to the kitchen. And he once again humbled me. I remember everyone was like, the speaker was like, all right, counselors, get around. We're going to pray for the kids. And I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to pray, led by the Spirit. And I just tried to pray for people. Nothing was happening. Just like the Spirit wasn't moving, just felt dead. And I was like, what is going on? And God's like, I don't need you. Go back to the kitchen. Okay. He just really wanted to let me know. He said, I want to use you, but you need to know that I don't need you. Like, I can use other people. I want to use you. I have a plan for you, but I don't need you. It's not about you. It's about me using you. And so it was a big eye-opener for sure. Still will never forget that. But he wasn't done. He then, that same day, ended up getting a hole in my eardrum from a skit that went wrong. It was a fun skit, but it still went wrong. He was supposed to hit me in the face, and I spit whipped cream on the crowd and said he hit me in the ear, put a hole in my eardrum. So for like 3 weeks, I couldn't swim. I couldn't have any fun. We did a bunch of end of the summer fun stuff. I couldn't have any fun, which I did not like at all. So that healed. And then a week later, I get a concussion, and a pretty bad one at that, that kept me out for 7 weeks. Post-concussion syndrome, which it was bad. I could hardly do anything. I like went to class, and that was about it. I couldn't have any fun. And I'm living in the dorms. I'm like, what the heck, God? I want to do outreach, and I can't even talk to people or I feel sick. I mean, he was just still working on me. He was still moving through me. I was leading the Bible study, and God was still doing a lot through my weakness. But I felt like I had lost a lot of myself because my personality was gone. If you've ever had a concussion, you kind of know. You just don't feel like yourself. I couldn't have fun. I couldn't do the things that I was finding worth in. It was painful, but I began to realize, I'm like, you know what, this is happening. I can't stop it. I have this concussion, and God says all things work together for good. So I said, okay, let's find the good in it. And once I came to that realization, God began to start showing me things. Big weekend, my senior year, he said, find your worth in who created you, not how he created you. And that's really stuck with me because I was finding my worth, you know, putting on the outer shell of like, I'm good, I got this, I can do it on my own. But that's not where my worth comes from. My worth comes from in God, because when all that was taken away, I should have been able to rely on God. And I did when I finally got to the bottom. God was there to pick me back up once again. And it was a rough start to an amazing year. Like, that year was amazing. God used me to do some incredible things, and really emphasis on God used me. It was not me. He had me go minister to a guy who jumped out of the 11th story of Orton and survived trying to kill himself. Like, that was a miracle in itself. There was some spiritual warfare that happened pretty intensely, that God's like, go for it, and I didn't know what I was doing, and, you know, Jesus' name always comes through. People got saved. It was just an amazing year, and it all and the only reason God used me is because I was ready, because I was broken down and built back up in his strength. And if God was to say, hey, would you go through that again? I'd say, absolutely. Just because of everything that happened because of it, the way that he built me back up, the way that he really spoke to me and met me in the brokenness, so that now my relationship with God is so much stronger, because that's all I had left. That's all I could do. And so senior year was, it was absolutely amazing. And then these last 6 years, so I graduated in 2013, these last 6 years, God's still not done. Just because you graduate doesn't mean you're done. You're not done until you're dead, really. That's how God, that's graduate school, right? You got to keep learning. And there's been ups and downs. And I've, you know, masks have gotten the way. When I first started working for the church, I thought, you know what? I'm a staff member. I got to have it all together. I got to know all the right answers. So that's what I kind of lived. I just put on this, like, I got it together. You know, come to me. See, pride, it creeps up. It's not good, but it would come in every once in a while. That's kind of a perception, and then God began to speak to me and go, well, first of all, that's a lie. You don't have everything together. So first I had to admit that, and he said, second of all, it's not relatable. No one's going to come to you for help like you want, because if you look like you have it all together, they're not going to think they have it all together, and they're not going to think they can approach you. So you need to actually let you know you have problems so people will talk to you. Okay. But then I had to start looking at my issues. That's never fun. I had to take off my own mask, my own blinders. And, you know, as I began to look more and more at the beginning of my career here at the church, God used some painful experiences with relationships to kind of just, you know, I was like, oh, I do have a heart. There is some feeling there. He started to really open me back up from when I had closed down, when I had moved. But as I began to look more deeper underneath, I didn't always like what I saw. I was like, wow, underneath there's like, I can be lazy, I can be apathetic, I can be uncaring, I can be mean. I just saw these evil things underneath me, and I'm like, that's not what a campus staff is supposed to do. We're supposed to love people all the time, and this is not what a Christian's supposed to be like. And so I really fought with God. I'm like, why don't we just stay on the surface? That's my good things. And I began to really just kind of revert. It was just a battle, but God was always fighting, always coming, doing a little bit more. I'm chipping away just a little more each year through different situations. And a lot of times I would revert back to like putting my worth into what I was doing, because I saw that the surface mask was great. Like, I was just serving. So I would just serve. I'd find my worth in serving. But the problem with doing something to feel secure, to feel your worth, it's never enough. And so I would just go crazy for a long time. Just, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. And it was never enough. I always felt inadequate. I felt shame for not doing enough, because it wasn't enough, because we're never good enough for God. And it was just so difficult. I would get burnt out. I'd be like, why, what am I doing? Like, I can't do enough. Like, am I even supposed to be on staff? But God, he is so faithful to work through those things, to really just continually reminding me, like, your worth is in who I created you to be. Be yourself. Find your worth that, you know, you're enough because I died for you. And God really stressed for the gospel, and he still is in my own life. And, you know, I did not like to share what was going on deep down. I didn't even like to share it with God. I just kind of, you know, stayed on the surface. God and I had a relationship, but it wasn't that great, because I'd be like, all right, God, give me some help. Give me some orders. Thank you. I'll go do them. But God's like, no, that's not how life's supposed to live. I want to do life with you. I don't want to just give you your orders. I want to do life with you. And I don't care about what's going on. Like, you know, he's like, I'm used to working with imperfect people, because everyone is imperfect. And it just, the things that he's done in these last few years has been absolutely just amazing. The way he's like chipped away, the way he's opened up my heart. I've had to allow him to do that. I've had to allow him to speak to me in a greater way. But he is always calling me deeper. And sometimes I do fight it, but I've just seen amazing ways. this last summer, I was, you know, I was just married. I've been married now for 4 months, so that's been exciting. To Wilma back there. But really, that kind of freaked me out. I mean, I was telling my mom, I'm like, I'm afraid to get married. She goes, you're not afraid of anything. I was like, I'm afraid of marriage. And because it had a lot to do with just being, like, unknown. It was the unknown. But I just prayed so hard for God just to help me, to really show me what to do. And through that, God just did an amazing, like, even on our wedding day, like, I cried. I hadn't cried for a long time. And God just brought me to tears. Since I cried, a lot of other people cried too. It was actually pretty awesome. It was a pretty amazing. Devin was just looking at me like, don't do it. Just don't do it. Please don't do it. But God just broke something inside of me, and he's still working. I just feel like just such a greater closeness to other people. And he's just continuing to work through those things. And so just want to, the band can come up, and we're going to end with one verse and then one other thing. And so an amazing verse from the Bible. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And there's a, I love the beginning, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. There's a condition in there. We have to take the mask off. We have to allow God to look deep inside of us. We have to allow God to mold us, to work through us, to help us connect with other people. We need to take off our masks to be the person that God created us to be, to really grow in relationship with God in a real tangible way. And that's what he's done for me. That's what he'll do for you. He wants whatever's underneath. He wants to deal with it. He wants to help you with the deepness underneath. And so just want to end with actually a poem, which might surprise some of you because I'm not really into poetry, but my mom wrote it. And it's actually really, really powerful. So listen to the poem and just see what God speaks to you, especially now as we go into worship. Just let the mask down. Let God see the real you during worship. So here's The Mask I Wear by my mom, Jane Borg. I look into the mirror, and what do I see? Not the person God created me to be. I have covered myself with a mask and a shell, hoping I look better and people can't tell. That I am ugly and hurting in my sin, won't someone try to look within? But wait, please don't look, I don't want to be an open book. What if someone sees what is deep inside of me? Mocking at its best, rejection is all that's left. I'm so tired of carrying this heavy weight, but unsure of how to set things straight. Lord, will you turn away in rejection and dismay when you look at me without my covering? Trust me is all that you ask, so I willingly give you this mask. Strengthen me, Lord, to stand with head held high, to be able to look people in the eye, to allow them to truly see the one whom you created me to be. Some will stay and some will turn, but that is no longer my concern. For your glory shines through me, not dimly, but radiantly.